Hey folks, it's Mark, your host on My Labor Radio. You can find us on multiple podcast platforms, and this show is now part of the laborradionetwork.org. You can discover more than just us by visiting their website. The Labor Radio Network will help you find your next new favorite union podcast or radio show. A simple network of folks from across the nation. Working people keep raising their voices more and more each day and demanding better treatment from their workplaces and their elected officials. As you know, these voices don't get heard very much on the corporate-controlled media. But the 21st century's labor movement has a new way to get its message out there. And working people don't rely on traditional media gatekeepers. It's now the internet, so you can turn off your TV to get the real news. So that gets us to that one-stop shop. Just visit laborradionetwork.org. On the main page, you'll see a grid of show logos. Just click one, and the description and links pop up right there. It's worth going to visit this ever-growing Voices of Labor resource. Join us at laborradionetwork.org.
BCTGM Voices Project, a podcast highlighting the real people who make up our union.
And I'm happy to report that we've got a great program put together now with some really talented people the executive officer has hired this year.
There's nothing louder than when a whole other union that has nothing to do with your industry just shows up right on the picket line. And they don't forget that. The other unions never forget that.
That was my intention with the page. I wanted to thank people. I didn't want to say, hey, look at us, look at us. I want to say, hey, look at them, look what they did for us.
And I knew that I had to convince him on paper because he kept saying, the toolbox is not showing this. Right. I'm like, hey, let's just go out on faith. I know that it's a victory. I didn't have any doubt.
Social media will never be able to replace getting out there, meeting people, and having those one-on-one conversations. If we're going to use it for organizing, there's a timing thing for when it should be used and how it should be utilized.
Our union is stronger than it's ever been. This is the most I've ever seen this union down in Richmond come together and have each other's backs. They all were fighting for the same cause.
This is the BCTGM Voices Project. On April 5th, workers at Hearthside Food Solutions, which we'll also be referring to as HFS in this recording, in London, Kentucky, filed for a union election to be represented by BCTGM Local 57. This action follows decades of effort by BCTGM organizers in three HFS locations and dozens of violations of federal labor law by this company, formerly known as Consolidated Biscuit Company. There are 42 HFS facilities in the United States. These are co-manufacturing facilities running product for companies like General Mills, Nabisco, and Kellogg's. All companies, of course, represented from a labor standpoint by the BCTGM. A handful of them are unionized. BCTGM Local 70 has contracts at three locations in Grand Rapids, Michigan. UFCW has one in Mississippi. And in 2021, when Hearthside acquired Interbake, it was also forced to recognize the existing BCTGM contract at Local 50G in North Sioux City, South Dakota. Outside of those, these are non-union plants where they outsource the work of BCTGM members. Our organizers have concentrated heavily on Macomb, Ohio, London, Kentucky, and Michigan City, Indiana, because those facilities run a lot of Mondelez Nabisco product. They undermine the good contracts we have negotiated, the benefits won through tough fights, but more than that, our organizers have been really concerned for the workers in these facilities over the years. Horror stories about skirting safety protocols, injuries on the job, workers paid less, treated worse, lots of favoritism. You'll hear some of that directly from the workers in this recording. We hope you'll hear their stories and commit to standing in solidarity with them as they continue their decades-long effort to join the BCTGM. We start in Macomb, Ohio, with BCTGM Director of Organization John Price and Jason Maynard, an employee of Hearthside who's been working there for 22 years and fighting for a union there for most of those years.
As Michelle said, yeah, I'm the director of organization. In the last year or so, sitting down with our executive officers, we were talking about Hearthside Food Solution. You know, we've had three elections in Macomb. Last election was the closest. They actually were off by 51 votes. If 51 people would have voted yes, they'd be unionized now.
Definitely, but that's closer. That's out of 1,500, right?
1,200, yeah. So that's the first election we had in 2002, there were 700 people there. And it pretty much stayed the same because we got a rerun election, which took almost 10 years in 2011. And there was the same amount of employees, 700 some people. So when we came back in 2021, we were thinking they grew somewhat, we thought, but they were saying, no, it's most of the temps. They went full time, but no more than 800 people. So it was a little surprise to find out 1,200 people they had there. I think they're pretty much maxed out. How many lines do you have there, Jason?
We got 20.
Yeah. So if anybody knows in the biscuit industry, they're really long band ovens, and there's 20 of them inside that plant. So you can only imagine the heat and how crowded it is getting in and out. And that's why they have big OSHA issues, big accident problems. There's already been a death there where a guy fell off a ladder to his death. And he said he was definitely afraid of climbing up the ladder and they would give him a harness. 2 weeks ago, we were out here handbill, and there was another guy that almost lost his hand.
Yeah, his whole hand got caught up in the main roller.
That's another big issue. And I imagine that the other Hearthside Food Solutions, they should be taking a careful look at it, too. If it's as bad as it is here in Macomb, that's for sure. But getting back to your original question, it was that we ran an election in 2011 with Macomb, and then folks in London, Kentucky were interested in joining. And because we organized the first plant in that area in London, Kentucky, which was Earth Greens, now Bimbo Bakery down there. But we wanted to try to get them to vote on the same time the Macomb people were voting on. And we were directed to the election with Macomb because of all the unfair labor practices committed and the District Court of Appeals was going to put them in contempt unless they rerun the election. Unfortunately, company had two attorneys come in from St. Louis. They've got two attorneys again that will be taken on from St. Louis, probably going to try the same tactic. And it was just to delay the election. And so they basically succeeded at that we couldn't get the vote on the same time. And when Macomb fell through by, you know, how many votes, it wasn't pretty that election. Then London pretty much fell too. But now what they're realizing is each election they lose, they're constantly given these empty promises that they're going to fix things, you know, don't join the union now, give us a year to fix it. And we hear that in every organizing campaign and every manager does it. It's the old carrot and then the stick, you know. And in this case, each time things got worse, not better. So just recently, it was kind of a perfect timing, perfect storm. All three locations, not just London, Kentucky and Macomb, Ohio, but folks in Michigan City, Indiana, who we spoke with in the past, just didn't see a whole lot of interest. We're all calling us now because the company, first of all, the company pays about half the wages they pay to our Nabisco members. And that's exactly what they make is Nabisco product over there. They pay over $160 from what I understand from the workers per paycheck for health insurance. And they didn't have a pension. They had a pension back in the 90s. They did away with that pension. And through the 2000s, they had a 401k where the employer matched 3%. They just took that off of them.
Yeah. So it's hurting everybody.
So now you're looking at it, they're making half the wages. They're paying an enormous amount of money for health insurance, and they got no retirement. So, I mean, really, it's not a place to build a career, that's for sure.
It's still taking a lot of stuff away from us.
You wonder why, well, with all that going on, John, I don't care if there's 1,200 people. They'd be signing authorization cards to join a union, right? Aren't they knocking down your door to come in? No, because of the high turnover rate. They was just telling me they got another brand-new plant manager.
Yes, another one.
This must be the 10th plant manager they have since I've been coming up here. So even in management, the turnover rate, people can't stay. And unfortunately, they can't pull any more. There's no workforce out here. They've used all these people out here. So they're actually busing people in. There's a lot of immigrants from Haitian in here now. A lot of Hispanics, of course. But they're actually lodging these Haitians from what I'm understanding. Yes. And when you have that high of a turnover and people realize it's, you know, an unsafe, crappy place to work. But the fear hits them. It's not like we have the same people and they know the company's going to do the same cookie cutter stuff and try to tell them about dues and strikes. No, these are all brand new people. So you got to start from the beginning with them.
Our main thing right now is our big safety, because we got so many languages in that place. If someone gets hurt or whatever, you don't know what they're saying.
That becomes a hazard, communications, you know.
Yeah.
Someone speaks Spanish and someone doesn't speak English, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Jason, how many people around there are like you? You've been there, how long have you been working there?
Well, I've been working there over 22 years. Been turned out and bought out 3 times already since I've been there.
It's another big point, yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing in the plant these days?
Right now I'm doing forklift and regrinds. A lot of people complain about safety, but you go tell a manager or supervisor, they say, don't worry about it till something happens. And then, you know, OSHA gets called. They like to hide things up, you know, put a guard on or whatever before OSHA gets in.
John, the last time that we were on together was you were with Jason. It was in January of 22. We were kind of talking about how Gracie Heldman, who worked there, and her husband, Terry, but she came out here to Washington, D.C., and she testified in front of the Senate Labor Committee talking about, you know, how badly we need the PRO Act and labor law reform. It shouldn't be this hard, you know, especially there for 20 years it's been going on. Can you talk about how labor law has changed since then? That was only 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think most Americans would be shocked to hear that we pretty much have the worst labor laws in any civilized country in the world. You know, if you were up in Canada, each province has a different set of labor laws. But if you were in Quebec or New Brunswick and majority of people sign cards, well, that's it. Then you're recognized as a union. There's no campaigning, no fear tactics of being fired or suspended or losing anything. They got to sit down and bargain a contract with the union. If it happened in Ontario, they don't get instant recognition, but they'll hold the election in 5 business days. So people are angry. And you know what? Then an employer doesn't have that upper hand of threatening and scaring people where they have it in the United States, because it could take anywhere from 30 to 60 days and sometimes longer to get to a vote. And when the employer has that much time and all day in the plant with them, and they have these captive audience meetings, it's mandatory you have to come, they scare the living heck out of them. And you're absolutely right. The laws constantly change too. We go back to 2002 when we had that election. The employer fired 7 people. We filed unfair labor practice charges, and we won them in an administrative law judge hearing. The judge ruled in our favor that all 7 should be reinstated with full back pay plus interest. The employer appealed that, and it went to Washington. This is where it gets a little political, because it's whoever is president at the time who appoints the 5 members of the National Labor Relations Board. And at the time, it was more in favor of management than it was for the union. And they kind of split the baby and said half of them would have been fired and it wasn't union activity. And Bill Longhorn and Russ Teagarden would have been reinstated, which they were, with about $250,000 in their pocket. But again, 9 years elapsed. So now I'm talking to all brand new people again. I can't tell them that it's illegal for you to be suspended or fired or even threatened. And look what happens when they do that. They just got $250,000 and are back to work. And so I'll tell you, well, I don't have 7 years to do that. So this is where both the Employee Free Choice Act back in the early 2000s was, and we were the poster child. Bill Longhorn's face was literally on the poster of all those for the Employee Free Choice Act, which would make tougher rules. People don't realize with the National Labor Relations Board, you don't have the same punishment like you have with the Department of Labor, with EEOC and stuff like that. If someone violates the Fair Labor Standard Act or to discriminate you because of your race or your demographics, then you not only file a charge when it, then you file a civil suit. And this is where you see these $1 million civil suits. And that's why the employers really pay close attention to make sure they're not violating those labor laws. But when it comes to forming a union, there's no real punishment there. You know, if someone gets terminated, we get their full back pay, get them reinstated, but that's going to take time. But for the employer, that's a smack in the hand for them. So the PRO Act that you just talked about was something that would fix that too. It would give the employee the right to sue the employer, you know, over 50, get fined $50,000 and then file a civil suit against them too. It also would have done a lot of wonderful things. When it would make organizing so much easier. Do away with mandatory captive audience meetings, which should be, that's the way it should be. The union doesn't have mandatory captive audience meetings, nor can we have them, but the employer can, because they have control over all the employees. And you would think that's more of a reason for people to vote yes. I mean, they constantly control, even outside of work, you tell people, well, how come we're not getting some people to show up? Well, they're afraid someone from management will see us. Well, if the employer controls you outside of work as much as he controls you inside of work, then you really need to be unionized. You need some representation.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason will tell you the issues are absolutely there. And the overwhelming majority in this plant will tell you that it's the fear mongering. You know, last time they brought in 6 union busters. They're what they call persuaders. And their job's pretty easy. Basically, to scare the living hell out of everybody not to vote for themselves, not to vote yes for the union. So they had 6 of them last time. They spent nearly $1 million. That's how much they made for the 2 months they were out there on the floor talking to workers. Now, they get the upper advantage, right? Because we have to ask workers, when you get done work, can you come by the hotel or meet us by the plant and we'll talk to you? And workers, when they're doing 12-hour days, they just don't have the time to do that these days.
So, John, what's the situation there now as far as the organizing? Do you have a good committee or?
So we're in the early stages, too. Actually, London folks had called first, and so that's why they're so far in advance. Not only did they get the cards in, they now have the overwhelming majority. So that's looking really good. And everybody up here in Macomb's pulling for them, and their solidarity is there. It definitely would help give a boost to the other two facilities, Michigan City and Macomb. But the stage we're at now is just before they were about to file down in London is where we were just out giving our first handbill out to workers. And yeah, we were in the very early stages of forming an inside committee, educating workers who want to take a lead role so they can explain to their coworkers what's legal and what's not legal, the benefits.
Right? Yeah, because when John, first time that we were out here, they employees didn't want nothing to do with the union because they're all scared. The second time they started taking more literature, third time is kept on picking up. The fourth time when they're out here, everybody took everything. I mean, it wasn't no backing down. They didn't want it. I mean, they just jumped. It was gone.
They want the information. And it's always been, fear has always been the biggest obstacle. And any of them union busters will tell you one thing they can't beat is rage. And I thought for sure after they just took the 401k too, that enough was enough. These people had it. Yeah. And this is what anybody watching this, and hopefully we get everybody to watch this podcast too. What they need to understand is, yeah, they took that 401k away from all of you, but not from any BCTGM member that works for Hearthside. That's in their contract. They can't touch that.
When we talked about this last week, John, you related this back to union density. Can you talk about that?
So the reason why the BCTGM has the best contracts in the industry is because we focus on organizing the industry, and that gives us union density. So when we talk about Biscuit, as I said, we've always had the top three was Nabisco, Keebler, Sunshine, and then you had Independence. And so you had leverage where you can bargain a strong contract with number one, and number two would follow, and number three would follow that, and then depending where the Independence where we have them follow that. And the same with in the tobacco industry, all the cigarette manufacturers and leaf with the exception of R.J. Reynolds is unionized. And that's all union density. And in the bread and cake industry, Bimbo Bakery owns the overwhelming majority. And we have well over 10,500 members with them alone, let alone all the other bread and cake. By having that union density gives us the leverage at the bargaining table to get the wages and benefits our members deserve. If you don't have that, you just don't have the leverage. You know, it's like us going in and organizing an automobile plant. You know, we don't have any other, and that's not the industry we come out of. And so we have no leverage to get a great contract, whereas we can in the bakery, confectionery, tobacco, and grain millers industry. You know, alluding back to these three facilities, what would be ideal is if they all vote yes and then pull together to try to get some type of master agreement like we did with the other biscuit and facilities.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So, Jason, you know, people kind of like to hit us with this question of why do you keep working in a place if you have nothing good to say about it? You've been around that facility for a long time. You're still working there, and you've also been a union activist for as long as you've been there. Could you explain what keeps you coming back to fight for this?
Well, I'm doing it mostly for the employees and myself for retirement because a union, my family came from a lot of unions. Auto workers, you know, steel workers, and they always tell me you got to fight what you want for and you work as a family. Yeah. And Hearthside right now is not a family organization place. It's just going downhill real quick and they don't care who does what.
Yeah, he told me one time before, though, yeah, I know the easiest thing to do is just say, oh, well, what are you going to do? And put your head in the sand or quit. And he goes, you know, I plan to change it. He just didn't think it was going to take this long, 20 years.
But it's admirable. I mean, I think that's fantastic because it's so true that if people just keep giving up on these good jobs that are mostly good instead of fighting for them to stay good, then you aren't going to have any more good jobs in this country.
You're absolutely right. And I'll tell you, Hearthside Hacks, I just seen this commercial, I don't know if it's on Facebook or what, but it's a woman and she's all happy and stuff. And she said, here, I work at Hearthside and you can use this as a stepping stone or build a career. Well, you can't build a career there. I mean, I just told you don't have a retirement to begin with. And so, a stepping stone. If that's all you're looking for, you're never going to be number one in the industry because you don't have loyal soldiers. You know, you've got some of them, but they're barely hanging on. Most people, I think, you know, we make great product, you know, and so you want good, loyal employees who care about their product. And I'm telling you, you're not going to get any better than our members. And the proof's in the pudding. I mean, you can talk to this man who's been here for 22 years and probably knows 10,000 people that worked in this plant. And then I'll take him over to one of our Nabisco plants and the same 1,000 people that worked there still work there. You know what I mean? Except for
one person.
Hey, everybody. I'm Lisa Gregory, International Representative for the East Central States region. I've been on staff for about 4 years and with the BCTGM for 11, fourth generation union girl, though. I'm not on the ground here in London to support these folks with Earl Ferris. He's the business agent helping us out here from Local 57.
I'm Letitia Wharton. I'm an oven operator, and I've been with Hearthside for 29 years.
Hi, I'm Roxanne Holman. I've been with Hearthside for about 12 years now. I am a machine operator in mixing. I run the rotary.
Okay, so Lisa, you guys are in London, Kentucky. You have just filed for a union election there. Will you just give us the latest on what's going on down there?
Yeah, so, you know, from the beginning, we first kicked this off late February with our very first meeting, and it kind of hit the ground running from there. So we were able to get enough momentum, which is still going, to file for election on April the 5th. And with the new rules under the labor board, everything is moving very quickly. We actually have our hearing tomorrow to get to an agreement on the details of the election. So the sooner the better, of course. Everybody's anxious and they're excited. They've been in there doing the work. So, we'll have to get to an agreement tomorrow, get the details lined out, hopefully vote as soon as possible. We have a facility of, you know, over 600 people. And the issues are here right now and they're fired up.
Awesome. That's great. So, Lisa, we did a podcast with you 3 years ago now. You were on the campaign in Macomb, Ohio, the last one we did in 2020. And I recall that you were bummed out, didn't work out down there. I'm wondering if you can tell us kind of the difference between what was going on there at that time versus what the environment is in London, Kentucky right now.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Macomb, to me, it's kind of a whole different animal. And there were a lot of factors, I think, that worked against it at that time. For one, it's a facility of anywhere from 1,200 to 1,400 on any given day. And at that time, it was peak COVID. So there was a mask mandate in place. They had a really hard time communicating, building their committees. And, you know, when you have to keep 6 feet from people, it's hard to try and, you know, have these conversations that you need to have in the plant, the conversations that they're having here in London of building this solidarity. And they just didn't really have that kind of opportunity. And, you know, in Macomb, they also bus in employees daily, every shift from downtown Toledo. So the turnover rate there is just incredible. So that in itself is a challenge. It isn't for a lack of desire or wanting to get this done. It's very hard. It is. Organizing is hard work, you know, and Tish and Roxanne can attest to that. It's not easy. So, and sometimes the timing just, it isn't right. And maybe I think Macomb is ready now, and I know they're ready here in London. The time is now for them. Yes. Everyone can feel it here.
Yes. Awesome. Letitia, can you just kind of, just give us a few of the reasons why you feel like you're ready for a union down there now.
I feel like we're ready for a union now because we have been treated poorly over the years, and it has gotten worse and worse and worse. They keep taking things from us and never giving back.
Roxanne, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, if you have a voice at our factory, there is a huge, the retaliation is unfathomable. And if you stand up against the retaliation, that's it. You're fired. Your job is just out the door. I mean, it's one thing after another. They've taken our 401k match away. There are, I believe, 70 people still waiting on their vacation pay from last year. I mean, it's one thing after another, and people are just fed up.
I wonder if you have anything to add as far as what's keeping you in this fight? Because like Lisa said, it's not an easy thing to organize a union. So what is it that makes you stay strong through this?
For me personally, my family works there. You know, my husband and my daughter both work there. I'm trying to make it a better place for them. There's not a lot to choose from in London, Kentucky. I mean, we used to be one of the better paying factories, and now we're the lowest. There's no incentive to keep people going. That's what we're fighting for. It's for the future of that plant. I'm voting yes for the union because everyone in there deserves a voice. I'm fighting for their voices.
I'm voting yes because my husband has worked through the BTCGM union for 23 years. He has better pay. He has better insurance. He has a pension. He also has 401k match. And we have none of that. Like she says, we're the lowest paid food factory in London, Kentucky. And we need a voice and to help us to get to where they're not retaliating against us, where if you bid on a job, they already know who is getting that job before you even bid on it. We just need some representation to help us.
Where does your husband work? Just curious.
Bimbo, London, Kentucky.
Okay, Local 57.
Yes.
All right, that's good. Thank you, guys. Switch gears to Michigan City, Indiana.
I'm Veronica Hopkins, Midwest Region International Rep. Been on staff coming up to 2 years, and I've been with the BCTGM about 23 years now.
I'm Ryan Hookey, BCTGM Business Agent Organizer in the Midwest. I've been on staff for about a year and a member of the BCTGM for roughly 12.
I spoke on the phone last week with you, Veronica, hoping that you guys could have some workers there from Michigan City to speak as well, but you have said they're not ready. So can you explain the environment there on the ground in Michigan City where you guys are at with this campaign?
We are in the process of getting authorization cards to like when they get to the point where we can also file for a petition election. We are educating the employees there, but they are afraid and unsure what could happen. So they are not ready to come forward in the limelight, but they're willing to work behind the scenes to try to get the numbers that we need so that they can have a successful campaign. They're facing some of the same challenges as the employees in London, Kentucky, the retaliation, the favoritism, the rules changing from day to day, and things being taken away from them. So we're still trying to educate them and get the number of employees to sign authorization cards so that we can one day get to the same place that London, Kentucky is filing for election.
All the times I've been up there, all the employees are really receptive to speak to you. You know, they're, you know, in favor of a union or seemingly behind a union campaign, but it's just kind of getting those people to kind of come forward and doing the legwork, kind of like Veronica said, coming out and, you know, doing some of that work. And I think something recently that has really kind of pushed them forward is, you know, one of the gals from London talked about, you know, the take, and, you know, that 401k match that was taken recently was a huge motivator for people. You know, after that was out, we got a lot more conversation. You know, we started to develop some contacts, you know, exchange information. So we've been talking to people, but like Veronica said, they're just not quite ready to put themselves out there, but, you know, they've been, you know, working with us quite a bit, you know, behind the scenes. We're just, whenever we're out there, we've had, they had scheduled meetings last week, and, you know, we got feedback from them on the meetings and, you know, just kind of the things that are going on inside the plant, you know, temperament from members, you know, what, or employees, which is kind of what things that they're hesitant on, you know, and part of that factors into the education process too, that the company's not going to see their information if they sign these cards, you know, this, so talking to somebody and coaching them and giving people inside, you know, the reassurance that, hey, if you are in favor of the union, you want to sign off on this, you know, the company's not going to see this.
Yeah. You know, these two organizing campaigns are nothing new for the BCTGM either. I think that we've been maintaining relationships in these two locations for 10 years or so. I did talk to John Price probably 2 years ago on this podcast just about the update on organizing for that year. And he was in Macomb at the time and had said in Michigan City, that campaign, they had rank and file organizers out of Local One, the financial secretary there, Beth Zavala. She's a Spanish speaking organizer, and she was down there speaking to the workers outside. The managers were videotaping them, talking to the workers. And I believe at one point, one of them came outside and tried to warn the workers about speaking to Beth. And she, you know, she was able to tell them in Spanish, this is a scare tactic. They're not allowed to do this. And on that, I wonder if you guys, this would maybe be a good time to remind these workers of their rights in an organizing campaign. If you can kind of throw some of those out to help people understand.
Yeah, and here in London, you know, we already have multiple charges filed for just that. So surveillance, they were taking pictures of employees out in front of the plant. You know, they've targeted some of our key supporters trying to intimidate them. And everyone needs to remember, it is their legal right to organize, form, join the union of their choosing without fear of retaliation, termination, intimidation, any of it. You have that right. And that's what we've heard down here is, you know, the confidence that our committee has built. They're spreading that throughout the plant. And I've heard multiple times in the last couple of weeks that they feel protected because they are.
Good.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Under Section 7 of the National Labor Relations Act, you're allowed to attend meetings and discuss joining a union. You're allowed to read and distribute and discuss union literature. You're allowed to wear buttons, t-shirts, stickers, hats. You're allowed to sign a union card, sign petitions or file grievances, or ask other employees to support the union. This is all your legal rights. And our union has always been very good about taking note when those rights are being violated, or when the company, because a lot of times the company is breaking the law in these situations without even knowing it, because, you know, they're not as educated on their rights of the workers as we are. So, you know, I would also say to, you know, Lisa, it sounds like the workers in London are very well educated on this, but to the other ones out there, if you feel like your rights are being violated, you should let the representatives know, because, you know, we can file charges on that stuff.
So that's something we tell people in Michigan City. You know, we talk about that. You can, if you have the right to talk about football, you know, you have the right to talk about union, you know, whether you're break time or on the floor, what have you. We, you know, there's a paragraph on the board that employer can threaten you with action for talking about union. And we tell them, you know, if this is happening, we want to hear about it. You know, tell us about it, because, you know, that is illegal. We want to know.
Last week, we actually did hand out some leaflets with know your rights on there. And then we begin to get more calls and feedback because they didn't know. And once they start to see and get educated, we've been having overwhelming responses to the literature that we've been given. Phone calls, daily calls with employees with trying to get educated, and where we may have a team of five that is ready to do the work behind the scene, you still have that other big group where, and they'll say it, we're not ready to come out forward, but I'll talk to my coworkers. even had people come in and grab stacks of the Know Your Right literature and ask, can we put these in the break room? Can we put these, can we hand these out? Yes, you can. We've educated them on those things. It's just a matter of getting it spread around because they're so open. And when you start talking to these guys, they go into all of the things that are being done as far as favoritism, rules changing, coming in on for a shift and then being sent home 10 minutes later. Whatever reason, something changed in the schedule, lack of work or so forth, they're saying they can have that happen to them 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah, and I think it's important where you and Ryan are in this to reiterate that this is a organizing can be a very slow burn. You know, when you do get to a point of filing an election and getting those workers on board, it's very exciting. But we're talking about 20 years in Macomb, Ohio, and 10 years in these other locations. It's not glamorous work. So I would just say to all three of you, great job for staying in there. I do wonder, Roxanne and Letitia, like hearing this, what you would say to those workers in Michigan City if you were able to speak to them?
I would say stand your ground. I mean, your voice should be heard. Fear is just fear. It's just that. Once the anger takes control, fear goes out the window.
Hey, Lisa, like I said, you were in Macomb a couple of years ago. I remember you saying that you had made really good friends with some of those workers down there and you looked forward to, at the time you said, coming back in a year and trying again. I wonder how it feels to be in London and this close now.
To me, it's what it's all about. I mean, to come down here and know that you can help them improve their lives. And I know it's life changing. I grew up union. I know the difference. And all that I want to do is give them their shot too. They deserve it. Everybody deserves it. You know, they deserve better wages and, you know, more affordable health insurance, a safer workplace. And, you know, all of these things that we might take for granted, they're fighting to get that. And I mean, this is where I want to be. This is the dream job for me, like I've said before. So.
Yes, you have said that before. You said you have the best job in the world. And even in times like this, when it's really hard because you feel like you can really make a difference in someone's life. But like I said, it takes time. And, you know, Veronica and Ryan, it seems like you're hanging in there, even though it's not necessarily the most exciting days. But, you know, good for you for staying in there and you know, slowly getting these people educated and hopefully they'll start to come around in the same way as London. Well, that's all I have question-wise for you guys. Did anybody want to add anything before we wrap it up?
So honestly, I'm glad we went and moved with London first. They feel strong and they're getting stronger, and that can only help the people in Michigan City and Macomb.
No, I mean, I think just let everybody know that as soon as we win this election here, then everybody can find inspiration in that and stand together.
Yep. I agree. Yep. Okay. Well, good luck, everybody. And thank you for doing this with me this morning.
Thank you.
All right,
thank you all.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Have a good one.
Bye. If you found this content valuable, please consider sharing it on your own social media pages and be sure to tag us. We are BCTGM on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. For more on the activities of the BCTGM, go to bctgm.org.